Why be inspired by the recent rash of KFC gravy cocktails, or why not, featured on the Try Channel? Nothing says festive holiday cocktail quite like skimming the cold coagulated gravy fat from the surface of your cocktail, which looks like an episode of explosive diarrhea reclaimed from the toilet. They have such fantastically awesome cocktails inside of there, like the Gravy Teeny. I mean, even James Bond would be offended at the fat skimming needed for this drink.
From a warm spot in the cockles of my heart and the darkest recesses of my mind, it's Joculation with your host, LB Faust. Joculation is an interactive social broadcast hosted by the cultural attaché to the SARS and ringmaster of the shit show himself, LB Faust. It features original satire, comedy, punk rock, and humorous bits every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Joculation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. Due to copyright restrictions, all segments which feature music from other artists and performers have been removed from this recording. On with the show.
Hey, kids. Wow. Look, that just dropped off all of a sudden. And was I prepared like at all for that one? I'm just like,
how about new?
What the fuck? It's Friday night, kids. Hey, what can I say? And you know something, PZ? You're welcome for that, by the way. I'm glad to hear that you've been listening to the podcast. Funny things before we get into that. So yesterday, I had a great moment in time. It was the proud dad moment where I went to the very first concert of Water Fairy Dance. All right. She has become my little black metal drummer girl. And let me tell you something. The best part is we're sitting in the audience over here. They're playing Believer, or, you know, as best as you can imagine, first year elementary school kids could play Believer from Imagine Dragons. And it's weird because it's like a tag team match, like a lumberjack match for the fucking drums over in the corner over there. So I'm talking to Waterfair. I'm like, so you're going to play the whole song, right? And she looked at me and she said, Dad,
how about new?
No, man, what we do is we keep taking turns. I'm like, what do you mean you take turns? I mean, like, we all line up right behind each other, and we all take turns, and somebody will signal it's time for a turn change, and then right in the middle of it, the next person comes in, and it's like this great big merry-go-round of, like, dysfunctionality. And so we all have a turn or two on the drums. And I was just kind of, dude, I was kind of confused by that. So she's getting ready. She's back in the line there with her hot pink drumsticks, ready to go ahead and tear a freaking hole in the drum skins to just pound out some freaking hellaciously awesome beats. And my 5-year-old son is sitting on my lap, right? And I'm like, hey, your sister's going to come up here, okay? Are we ready? He's like, yeah, Dad. I'm like, all right, but we're not quite ready yet. You know what we have to do? We got to throw up the devil horns and do some headbanging when she's doing her drumming. And let me tell you something, dude. He went ahead. He threw up his devil horns, his metal horns, and he was just like hammering, headbanging away. And Water Fairy seeing him headbanging as he's sitting there going ahead and doing Believer by Imagine Dragons. And it was absolutely fantastically awesome. The place where it got a little awkward had to have been when she was doing the choir portion where she was singing. And, my son decided to still go ahead and feel the metal run through his body while they're singing You Got a Friend for Me from Toy Story. And I was just like, bro, all right. Yeah. So I had to throw the horns up, too. And we were sitting there headbanging away to to You Got a Friend in Me. If only Woody was there to go ahead and see us, too. You know what I'm saying? That would have been awkward. And I just, but, you know, it is what it is, kids. So, PZ, you were talking about, hey, thanks for being podcasters. I'm glad you're catching up on the podcast while we're not here. Yeah, we came back after a 2-week stay. I mean, our 2-week break over there. And I know people are asking me, ALP, you ever going to come back here? And I'm just thinking to myself, hey, Carlos, should we come back or what do you think? I mean,
No,
we came back because, hey, what am I going to do here? Leave you guys hanging out in the cold? I mean, I appreciate the people that come here for the live stream, but things have been very funny over on the freaking podcast. I have never seen so much activity on a podcast. It's supposed to be so offensive to the rest of the world. And
how dare you?
I'm seeing that I got listeners in Zimbabwe, and that made me kind of scratch my head there for a second. Zimbabwe, I mean, holy shit. Pakistan, that was another one where I'm like, what?
I mean, what the fuck?
And then, of course, the best one had to be, like, freaking China. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, as I'm perusing through here and I've got those fantastic, like, moments, I'm just kind of sitting there thinking to myself, of course, now that I'm, like, now that I've got my Chinese listener out there, thank you so much, my friend, over in Zimbabwe. Hey, we're about to experience inflation like you've had over there. And in Pakistan, for God's sake, please don't get thrown into a political prison or beheaded on my behalf. We'd hate to have that happen, but you know what? Absolutely love the fact that you're my listener over there. But that being said, I now have to, for the risk of, like, for them all risking their neck in China to listen to Joculation, which I have no reason why that's the case, but I appreciate it. I now have to promise no anti-Chinese facts or propaganda on the show, or maybe I'll find myself following the footsteps of, like, John Cena in, like, a Chinese re-education camp, apologizing in Mandarin for perceived slights against the House of Xi, so, like, I don't get canceled in China when the U.S. is already doing a fantastically stellar job, right? And they're saying, hey, LB, why aren't you, like, promoting on the freaking, wonderful world of, like, social media anymore? Well, I'm glad you should ask. Did anybody happen to catch the latest updates on freaking Twitter since Jack Dorsey ran out the fucking door? I'm just saying, oh my God.
How about new?
So if we go ahead and put any kind of media that's got anybody or anything deemed offensive by a certain party somewhere in some arbitrary place and they decide that, hey, I don't like your shit, they can just take our stuff down. So that being said, do we want to go ahead and spend our hard-earned money on promoting over on a place like Twitter? I'm just asking for the record.
How about new?
Here I thought that Facebook was a piece of shit. And you know what? Turns out I was wrong because Twitter's actually worse. But I digress, man. What has LP been doing is the big question, right? Well, I'll tell you what LP's been doing. I've been sucked into, like, a bunch of reality television holiday competition shows, scratching my head saying, what in the fuck am I doing over here?
Because
I got what? It is. Absolutely, Darcico, absolutely. And by the way, you know, Pig, beheading, not so much. It's not my thing over here. You know what I'm saying? I'd much rather that they keep their head and listen to Joculation, maybe privately. Perhaps I'll have to go ahead and make sure that we've got a page on the Mask Network, so then that way we can go ahead and not only earn cryptocurrencies in another wonderful decentralized program, but we can also make sure that those fucktards can't go ahead and shut them down, because that in and of itself, MASQ, is one of the coolest projects that's out there. Clandestine, so much better than the VPNs that are out here. It's a pretty killer project. But I digress. Let's get back into the show. We're not pimping, like, cryptocurrency, especially after, like, the whole fucking market died and there was panic in the street and everybody's out there, you know, like, hey, dude.
I like money.
Because I do, too. I'm like, what in the fuck happened on this side? But at any rate, so I got sucked into this reality television holiday competition nonsense bullshit because, I mean, freaking the television network food channel or whatever the fuck it is during our wonderful, fantastic American holiday of gluttony. It's just the most awesome, wonderful thing in the entire world over here. But that being said, one of the things that I happened to notice was that the Food Network does a wonderful job of not going ahead and really capturing the true essence of how dysfunctional the holidays are, right? They're not capturing the true essence of just how fucked up it is when you're sitting there having dinner with people that you only see once a year for obvious reasons. So, of course, for some reason or other, everybody gets a hair up their ass and is like, hey, you know something? Maybe this holiday what we'll do is we'll try something better. We'll try a new twist on something. We'll do something to go ahead and make it taste great. I've never done this shit before, but somebody wants me to go ahead and mix a whole bunch of weird shit together inside of here. And you know what? We'll make a really tasty gravy because it's the easiest fucking thing in the world to make, right? I mean, am I right here?
How about new?
And of course, you know, after you go ahead and inevitably create this gravy, which looks nothing like the gravy that it's supposed to be and tastes even worse, probably like reclaimed explosive diarrhea from the toilet, you find yourself the next day and the couple days after, what am I going to do with this shit is what you're asking yourself. How on earth can I go ahead and take this outside of, like, I don't know, making like gravy facials or perhaps like, I don't know, greasing up bearings on your fucking car or whatever. What am I going to go ahead and do with this stuff? Well, kids, no worries. No worries. You know, I was sitting there the other day, and something absolutely just fucking mugged me. I'm getting ready to come down here to go and pull together a show. And no, not baby gravy facials. That's pretty ugly. Although, you know, maybe for the right people. Hey, you know something? Where on earth is New Hacker Girl whenever that subject comes up? Oh, look at this. Pig is already running out of here. Yeah, I want to pretend like I'm watching. Thanks, LP. Love you. Bye. Hey, do me a favor, Pig. Give Nine a hug, okay? She ran the fuck out the door that quick. Where was I? Oh, yeah, so you could go ahead and, like, pack the ball bearings inside your cars, like bearings or whatever with it. But I was wandering around doing my own thing, just innocently wandering through, like, the television over here, and my wife turns on this YouTube channel called the Tri Network. And what it is a bunch of, this particular episode was a bunch of Irish people deciding to have KFC gravy cocktails. Right?
I mean, what the fuck?
I'll say that again. KFC gravy cocktails, and if you think I'm lying, there you go, man. It's the most repulsive and disgusting thing. But, what did it do? It went ahead and said, it gave me some ideas here. So, like, some festive thoughts about what to do with all that leftover Thanksgiving Day gravy, you know, after the turkey is gone. I mean, why be inspired by the recent rash of KFC gravy cocktails, or why not, featured on the Tri Channel right over there? Yeah, see, Ron's like, KFC gravy's great. I don't know, man. I don't know. Try it in a cocktail. So, I mean, nothing says festive holiday cocktail quite like skimming the cold coagulated gravy fat from the surface of your cocktail, which looks like an episode of explosive diarrhea reclaimed from the toilet from the most organic and freaking way possible. You know what I'm saying? They have such fantastically awesome cocktails inside of there, like the Gravy Mary, which is this hideous twist on a Bloody Mary, but infused with gravy. Or how about the Finger Lickin' Sour? It's a terrible twist on a tequila sour, complete with marmalade and lemon, because,
I mean, what the fuck?
Who doesn't go ahead and put marmalade inside of their freaking tequila sour? You know what I'm saying there?
How dare you?
Come on, man. Or here's another one that's freaking great. How about the Gravy Teeny? Yeah, that one's featured in there also. I mean, even James Bond would be offended at the fat skimming needed for this drink. And, of course, we got other ones like the Southern Twist. It just looks like reclaimed toilet water from an explosive diarrhea event with a thin layer of fat inside an elegant glass. And then, of course, the brown stuff. I know what you're saying.
I mean, what the fuck?
It's a fantastic way to destroy a perfectly good Guinness and some rum. So if you're interested, go check out the link above. Be repulsed as you're sitting there talking about the wonderful little fats, bits of fat that are just floating around up there like shit that's inside your eye or whatever. Or, I don't know, maybe if it's just a flavor saver or something like that. But, yeah, so this is what holiday television programming is in the Faust household. Don't judge. I'm just saying over here. And then, of course, if anyone knows LP, we know that LP's probably going to go ahead and watch some kind of fucked up documentary, right? I mean, the kind of documentaries I watch are thing like The Ringmaster, you know, where it's a dude who's doing a whole documentary on this guy, this autistic guy who's a savant at making onion rings. Or maybe I go ahead and watch something else, kind of like in a similar vein. So I was minding my own business, and I see this documentary sitting there. And, you know, it says, set with an exclamation point. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? Well, it turns out that what winds up happening is I get sucked into this documentary on tablescaping. I know, tablescaping.
I mean, what the fuck?
You're probably asking yourself, what the hell is tablescaping? Well, children, I'm here to go ahead and tell you. Kids, here's what it is. From the movie set, here's the description. Ready? We've got to do it in our movie voice. Once a year, a group feverishly determined to table... Hold on. Once a year, a group of feverishly determined table setters vie for the best in show ribbon at the Orange County Fair table setting competition, right? I mean,
what the fuck?
Now, it's often referred to as the Olympics of table setting. Contestants can spend over 6 months preparing their table to compete and ultimately be judged. A mere misplaced soup spoon can mean the end for an otherwise perfect table. But like any competition, it's not without its dramatics. Old rivalries, controversies, eccentric personalities, they all come to a head as SET! Exclamation point. Explores topics for Beyond Silverware. And you know...
I mean, what the fuck?
The drama. The intense drama of this. I mean, let's get real, man. You're fucking setting a table. 6 months? What the fuck do you do for 6 months if you're going to put a table together? How many varieties of put your fork here, put your soup spoon over here can there possibly be? And I mean, think about it, right? Orange County Fair, somewhere sandwiched between the livestock tents and the junior high school science projects, or maybe the elementary school kids' finger painting art projects. That's where the Olympics of table setting lives. With their best in show, a jungle-themed matching tabletop ensemble, straight from the kids' themed birthday party aisle at a local party city. You know what I'm saying there? So think about it. You're asking yourself, why the Orange County Fair, right? Because, well, nothing truly captures the grandeur, no, the majesty, nay, the essence of the Olympics of table setting, quite like the aroma of burnt funnel cake commingled with cow shit at the county fair. You know what I'm saying there, kids? Just picture it. You're in that wonderful hall. It's echoing like a mofo. And the sounds of the judging and the acceptance speeches are punctuated with the delicate overtones of salmonella-influenced explosive diarrhea, then the audible moans of desperation reverberating from the porta-potties lined up like tin soldiers from the Nutcracker at the back of the room. I mean, that probably captures the essence of all of it so wonderfully, right? And, of course, they have to go ahead and go into the wonderful thing. Yeah. In rural Tennessee, private labs are working on a cornicature. A cornicure? A corona cure. Oh, my God. What in the hell's wrong with me? Fix your glasses, LP. You're becoming a senior citizen over there. Yeah, slowly but surely. But I digress. Getting back to this, so, of course, why on earth would they go ahead and put a documentary together if they weren't going to go ahead and interview some of the freakazoids that are in this thing? And you ask yourself, hey, LP, I mean, come on now, all right?
How dare you?
Isn't that a little judgy-judgy? Come on, man. All right, listen. One of my greatest freakazoids inside this crazy-ass fucking film had to be Janet Liu of Laguna. So, while most contestants dismantle their tables at the end of each fair, not her. Good old Janet, she reassembles them in her home, usually in a room dedicated solely to the tables. However, when that room is full, she decides that's not enough. So what does this woman do? She decides to go ahead and put one in her bedroom so she and her husband Ron share. I ran out of space in the house, so I decided to put this year's table in the bedroom. It just seems so logical there. And I love it. It's exciting because I get to see my table first thing when I wake up in the morning.
I mean, what the fuck?
Now, let me tell you something, man. The greatest part about this had to be all the things that are unspoken in that whole quote right there. When they go ahead and zoom in on this woman, she's, like, putting her table settings there at her kid's, like, you know, baby shower. And she has the woman, her daughter, who's about the expectant mother, off to the side so the table can be featured. Inside their fantastic Christmas room, her opinion is the Christmas tree is secondary. Let's feature the table setting. And now, I mean, when you see this guy getting interviewed, her husband, you can just see all the life sucked out of his eyes. You can see the fight is completely gone. He's just looking like a fish gasping for his last breath as he's sitting there cleaning up around the table that's turned into like a museum setting inside of all places his fucking bedroom. And it's just, he does, at the end of the movie, he's just not talking anymore. He's just got that look of desperation, like he's just looking for somebody to give him a 45 to go ahead and make it all end. You know what I'm saying there? I mean, it's terribly, terribly awesome. But why go ahead and listen to LP go ahead and pimp this thing when you could just go ahead and take a look at the dysfunction right up close and personal on this fantastic Vimeo clip from that damn movie set? And you can just see the dysfunction, the grandeur, the splendor, and the glory of it all right there, right in your fucking browser. And, of course, you know, I got AMR sitting in the background over there talking about how dysfunctional this whole thing is. And she's like, this is like a train wreck, man. I just can't stop watching it. So once that finishes, the thing goes back to the opening scene or whatever, the opening, you know, thing that you select to go ahead and say, play, shoot me a scene or whatever. And had some suggestions. And God on earth, what the fuck kind of suggestion did it go ahead and give me? I'll tell you what it gave me. It said, guess what, LP? Hey, you've got some fantastic suggestions here. In fact, you could go ahead and watch Table Wars And you got to ask yourself, dude, seriously?
I mean, what the fuck?
So apparently Martha Stewart, now that she's no longer going ahead and sitting in the pokey, and she obviously can't go ahead because of insider trading, she now has apparently come into a new television show because Martha needs money. That's exactly what's going on right now. So according to the HGTV show about this whole thing, when it comes to setting a chic table, not many can top entertaining legend Martha Stewart. And this Sunday, November 14th, when she's making her return to HGTV in an extreme tabletop and special event design competition series called Table Wars, on which she will serve as the lead judge. Get your napkin folds ready. Dude, this is like a table, ladders, and chairs match out of the WWE. So here we go. In each episode, the competitors will create their own theme parties, which of course includes tablescapes, lightings, and displays. Holy shit! With the winner getting a $50,000 cash prize! So now, as we're sitting here, you know, at this point, AMR's like, I gotta watch this shit. And I'm like, alright, fine, whatever. So we watched the first episode, and she sucked. I'll say this much. What is cool is they got a theme park designer in there doing tablescapes, and I'm doing like, bro, you're not gonna be building out an entire auditorium, and then there's a single table in there. What are you doing? So you got that guy, and you got a set designer. Everybody else, meh. But here we are to show you how the majesty and the grandeur, the critical analysis that's being put in, the importance of these particular shows and events, just how incredibly important is it? We're coming down to the wire here, and at one point, Martha's walking around with a ruler measuring, like, forks and knives and the distance from, like, spoons and fucking, you know, like, cups and soup bowls and all that stuff. Tablescape ASMR, I don't know about that. I'd rather it be a tablescape ladders and chairs match, Uncle Bonehead. That's what I'm thinking, bro. Have somebody come into the ring with a foreign object, maybe take the steel chair and slap it across Martha Stewart's face. That would be excellent, okay? Tablescapes, ladders, and chairs match. Oh, my. So, she's got a ruler out there. She's getting all critical about them. You know, all Miss Manners. I know everything there is to know about all this tablescaping shit. And this one guy has got his knife, one knife on the whole thing. Turn the wrong direction with the blade facing out. Mind you, blade, let's put it in air quotes, because it's a fucking butter knife, okay? I haven't seen a critical injury from a butter knife occur except on a John Wick film. Outside of that, I ain't seen no critical injuries. But she's sitting there like he's committed such an egregious sin. She's like, the knife edge faces towards the plate because that's tablescaping 101. You know, and I'm sitting there saying, meanwhile, I'm thinking, thanks for that resting bitch face backhand criticism, Martha. Hey, I got an idea, Martha. While you're full of all these wonderful ideas, you think you can go ahead and just pimp us a couple of, like, great insider trading 101 tips that you'd like to share with as well? I'd just be like, I think that would really captivate the audience in the right fashion. So, of course, you know, when you ask Martha that question, you get a whole hemming and awing, and then the next thing you know, that's the way that it is, right? But then again, I mean, with the fucking great resignation going on, you've got, like, record-breaking resignations happening everywhere, each month topping the prior month in continuous rapid succession. Media companies suddenly need to find themselves with a captive audience, and of course, they got no good original ideas, so the cheap and easy way to do it is, hey, I got a great idea. Why don't we go ahead and just, like, make more reality TV shows? And it's just kind of like, dude,
how about new?
Could we please not go ahead and do that? But you know something, with this great resignation, like, for instance, in October, to give you an idea of the depth of how deep this shit goes and just how many people are leaving, the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics announced that 4.3 million Americans, or roughly 2.9% of the entire workforce, they quit their jobs in August. And I'm just like,
I mean, what the fuck?
And that was a record-breaking month that piggybacked on top of other record-breaking months. So it made me think, you know, what winds up happening? It's like you're looking for a fresh start, something new, something different. And it kind of made me sit here and wonder, does everybody have, yeah, that's it, I've had enough. Exactly, Darcico. So it kind of made me wonder if everybody just sort of like takes the Tiffany Haddish approach to, like, new beginnings, like, for instance, when she waxes all the pubes off of her lady parts after a relationship ends. And I'm just,
what the fuck?
So the star took to Twitter where she shared some personal details on a little female ritual she used to perform after calling it quits with a man. Before I cut all the hair off my head, I used to wax all the hair off my lady parts when I was done with a man. Anyone else do that? Think of it as a fresh start for the new man. All I can say is, you know, when you go ahead and throw in that resignation, you say, I've had enough of that fucking job. I mean, the first thing that comes to my mind is not, you know something, I'm thinking I need to wax my scrot to go ahead and have a fresh start. You know what I'm saying there? I mean, do I want to go ahead and put my balls inside, boy, put my balls in soy sauce? I mean,
how about new?
No, despite all of the great and wonderful ideas that they have over on TikTok, I'm not going to do that. Why on earth would I decide to wax my testicles like a Buick and make sure that they look like two wonderfully smooth and wrinkly bowling balls that are just like, you know what I'm saying? No, I'm not interested in ripping all the pubic hair out of my fucking, out of my scrot. Now, ladies, if you want to go ahead and do that for a fresh start, hey, that's your business. I'm not going to go ahead and call you out on it. But I'm just saying, it kind of made me also start thinking about, you know, imagine when all this comes to an end next year sometime, right? And people finally go, hey, I think I got to go back to work and maybe go get some job, get a job, grab some money or whatever. Maybe what they've got to start doing is they've got to start looking for that, like, second chance at a career, right? And if there's anyone that's got a, like, tin ear, hey there, Gray, if there's anybody that's got a tin ear that's the perfect example of how not to go ahead and start over, it's got to be Chrissy Teigen, right? I mean, she, after all, is too busy telling people to go kill themselves and shit on social media and getting called out for it. So, of course, you know, when your whole world revolves around having to go ahead and just, like, I don't know, be that beautiful person that you've got to go ahead and get the acceptance of your 35-plus million viewers, when they start to turn on you, you get a little bit desperate. You need to make them feel like the plebs and serfs that they are. So what better way to do that than, I don't know, hosting your own tone-deaf Squid Game party? Because that right there will go ahead and make sure that they work for you, right? So the 35-year-old shared a set of photos from the Tea Party with her more than 35 million Instagram followers. And, of course, Chrissy Teigen's got to go ahead and put a little bit of narrative to it. Where do I even begin? What an absolutely epic night. My dream came true of watching my friends fight to the death. Dunk tank, musical chairs, hide and seek, followed by a very riveting game of pin the tail on the donkey. Wife of the party, you truly are the best and have the best team ever. Thank you, thank you, thank you. More pics to come. And, of course, while many of them were impressed by the costume accuracy of the theme decor, others found it maybe a little bit tone-deaf that a Squid Game party was thrown by someone so well off. Wow, I love this, but I'm also like getting rich white men watching the Glass Bridge episode vibes. I think you missed the point of the show. And of course, immediately when the backlash comes in, she's, I'm sorry, I'll do a better job not to be an asshole. So, of course, you know how it goes, like reparations when you're sitting there saying, I could lose my whole following, and you start freaking out. It always starts with a dumb idea to reboot the career, and it ends up with a dumber idea to, like, go ahead and get some cosmetic surgery to, you know, freshen the look up a bit. I mean, nothing says, hey, let me go ahead and get some instant attention and, like, freshen my look up, quite like getting, like, eyebrow transplant surgery. And, dude, I never even knew there was such a thing to help restore that unibrow you worked so fucking hard to get rid of. You know what I'm saying there? So at any rate, she showed off her new look on the Instagram stories on Saturday, revealing she'd just undergone an elective cosmetic surgery procedure. I never wear makeup if I can avoid it. So I was so excited for this eyebrow transplant surgery. So she followed up with another post-surgery clip showing her new eyebrows in motion. They look so cool. He did hairs up to here and evened them out. In the third video that evening, she said, a little dark from the pencil, but it's so cool to have brows again. And I'm thinking to myself, you know something? I was kind of hoping. I'm a little bit sad. Yeah, you want a unibrow transplant there, Ron? Well, see, I'm thinking this is a bad career choice and a bad twist. You saw Teigen on South Beach once. I'm sorry, Gray. That's a terrible story, okay? Of all of the people to go ahead and potentially meet, I don't know. I don't care very much for Chrissy Teigen or John Legend. But, you know, I think this was a terrible choice for her. I think if you're trying to revive your career, you don't want to go on Instagram What you want to do is you want to go on TikTok. And what better thing could we do than potentially have her become one of those great beauty hack influencers? I mean, couldn't you imagine it? Why are we going to go ahead and have her go over to some, like, professional to get this shit done when she could have done this all by herself with a little bit of ingenuity and some hardware supplies, kind of like what they were doing over on TikTok? You know what I'm saying? So I was kind of hoping that maybe what she could do is do the eyebrow transplant herself, but with maybe a little bit of Gorilla Glue, and maybe she could borrow some of the pubes that Steve-O collected for his Sasquatch suit and just, like, do a home video for us showing us the ins and outs of how to go ahead and go to your local hardware supply shop, and you too can have luscious, beautiful brows that you can just slip into your face and perhaps, I don't know, hammer them in with a nail gun just to make sure that they're sitting there wonderfully and don't move too much. It would be absolutely fantastic. But, of course, that's old hat. Chrissy Teigen, she's kind of dead right now in the sense of not out there in the public sphere of any sort that everybody else can go ahead and see. What we need is to go ahead and grab, like, a star that's got no hope whatsoever for their career. We got to make sure that somebody's sufficiently dead, you know, in their career. They haven't been able to go ahead and revive it whatsoever. Somebody desperate, right? Desperate to go ahead and make some money. Desperate to go ahead and behave like they're relatable, like they're doing the job of the everyman, that kind of stuff. Hey there, Nine. So, I mean, what says better? What could go ahead and be better than this wonderful drivel and garbage that went ahead and invaded my feed and my Discovery Plus than, like, Kendra Sells Hollywood, right? I mean, that right there, you know.
I mean, what the fuck?
Former Playboy model, former, like, sugar baby to Hugh Hefner with the other two Playboy models that were there. That's the claim to fame, along with going ahead and being married to, you know, an NFL star at one point, punching out a few kids, and picking up an alimony check. Well, apparently now, you know, Kendra Wilkinson, she feels the need that she's actually got to go ahead and revive her career. And what better way to do it than to sell real estate? Because, I mean,
I mean, what the fuck?
And, of course, the trailer on it is she's lived in the public eye for over a decade now, having lived in the Playboy mansion, married and divorced a football star, and had a few reality shows of her own. It's been 3 years since she's become a single mother, and Wilkinson now feels ready to start fresh with a new career. She wants to make her kids proud and starting to make some real income again. And for the first time in her life, actually work. Wilkinson isn't ashamed of her days at the Playboy Mansion, but she's ready to put it all behind her. After months of studying, she's passed the California real estate exam on the first try, and she wants to get to start working here. Wilkinson scores a meeting with the Douglas Eilman team in a swanky Bel Air home priced at $15.7 million, and her skills are put to the test. All right, let's just stop right there. First and foremost, kids, sitting there and effectively saying, hey, she's actually starting to work this time. I mean, does that help her relate to the every person? I'm just...
How about new?
Dude, I mean, come on. Come on. And I'm sure that you scored that meeting with Douglas Eilman simply because of your mad awesome skills at real estate, right? It would have...
Whoa!
It would have nothing to do with the fact that you went ahead and, like, I don't know, showed everybody everything in Playboy, was on TV because of Hugh Hefner and you were banging him, or maybe because you hooked up with your former husband. You know, things of that nature might have gone ahead and contributed to this, and it's a little insulting to go ahead and sit there and say, oh, yeah, so for the first time in life, she needs to go ahead and make some income and actually work. I'm like, that's not relatable, man. I mean, am I wrong in this whole thing?
How about new?
Hey, Carlos, what do you think? I'm just wondering, right?
No.
So, I mean, if she was going to truly be relatable, well, let me back up a second. Can't we sit here and all just, like, yearn for those days? The good old days when, like, celebrities would just shut the fuck up, go to their private orgies, you know what I mean? Talk about world dominance and stuff like that and do the things that we expect them to do. I mean, holy shit, where's Stanley Kubrick when you need him? You know what I'm saying there? But I digress, man. So, isn't it? It's just like it's come to that point where you're not even relatable. You want to know what a relatable moment would be? So you're a person who's got no skills. You've worked over at Burger King a little bit. You're tired of going ahead and risking your life at the grease trap every night. Perhaps the store may have been held up. Perhaps, I don't know, there was a whole bunch of people there. Maybe a gangland shootout happened over there. And you decided, you know what? I've had enough. And at one moment, some leech has suddenly discovered, hey, this person's in a moment of desperation and comes over to you and gives you an Amway pitch. And you sit there and say, you know what? Direct sales sounds awesome. It's what I need to do. And then you go in with this like cult-like fervency where you go over and you do a couple of like Jedi meditations with these people while they brainwash you about how getting under their network is somehow going to make you rich when you're just a fucking sucker and you're trying to get all your friends looped into this whole thing. You know what I'm saying? Something along those lines. And it started to make me sit here and think, right? With Goop Labs coming out with their fantastic new stuff. I mean, between all the lawsuits and, you know, allegedly, and the new TV series on the Goop side of things with Gwyneth Paltrow, I think it's an awesome moment in time to go ahead and rethink the entire Goop party thing. And instead of going ahead and going down the road of, hey, let's go ahead and put out another product that the Federal Trade Commission can sue the shit out of us on and that we won't go ahead and get anywhere. I mean, let me tell you, maybe what Gwyneth Paltrow should do is she should start thinking about having some of those Goop parties, kind of like the old Tupperware parties of the day, or maybe Party Light or something like that. Bro, I'm just saying, great candidate, right? Yeah, he's like, I was just going to say, I got my Goop in the mail, man. So what would this party look like, right? That's probably what we're all asking at this stage of the game. LP, could you go ahead and shine a spotlight on it for us? Give us an idea of what we'd be signing up for if we went there. Well, I'll tell you what, right? If the Netflix series Goop Lab with Gwyneth Paltrow is any indication of what one could expect from, like, a Goop MLM, excuse me, direct sales party, I mean, you got to go ahead and envision it like this, right? It'll be a beautiful girls' getaway weekend, like at the June Motel at Sable Beach from Motel Makeover, with a gaggle of women all chirping to each other in their best disingenuous Elizabeth Theranos husky baritone voices as the party gets started with the garish pink neon and black lights washing all over the room, creating a festive, fun, red light district kind of gateway feel to it, you know? And, of course, the black lights would go ahead and capture all the most important things, like the semen stains on the bed sheets in the room. They'd light up like a Jackson Pollock, Thomas Kincaid modern art masterpiece of collaboration, which artfully captures the abstract minimalism of a drunken Tinder hookup regret. It would be beautiful, right? And of course, all the Goop sex toys and products are arranged on a folding card table next to the explosive smells like my vagina candle, which is lit for mood and stuff like that. And they'd all have cute little table tents, much like the way evidence is presented in the courtroom during a trial for a sexual predator, right before the hands-on Mormon-style soaking demos with all the Goop products. And, of course, you'd have that wonderful, candlelight from the Gwenny essence of crotch rot, just, like, filling the room and making it so beautifully moody and just absolutely awesome, just right before it explodes in a column of flame. You know what I'm saying? Yeah! And then, of course, casual meet and greets afterwards. You can go over and sit at the pool after you've gone ahead and effectively join the cult and all that stuff. And you can drink a little bit of ayahuasca and peyote-infused mocktails while getting some murder hornet facials. You know, during, like, group-led activities, it's while they're staring at their vaginas in mirrors. Like trying to back up a van into the vaginal cavity. You know what I'm saying there? So you got something like that going on. I know what you're asking. LP, dude, what's with the murder hornet facials? Bro, listen, it's more socially responsible and inclusive. I mean, if we were to go ahead and call them bee sting facials, we would be going ahead and making it such a non-inclusive event for all the other stinging insects that are out there. And now that we've imported a few murder hornet facial or murder hornets in from China, we've got to go ahead and make sure it's an inclusive event. So what says it better than going ahead and having some murder hornet facials while having some ayahuasca and peyote-infused mocktails, right? Think about it. Inclusive, wonderful, excellent, right? And just think about it. This would be a great entree to go ahead right around the holiday season to get Goop right in the doors. And We could have Kendra Wilkinson actually sit here and be the spokesperson for this. She could be the every person. She could be the mark, like every other person struggling to make a living here in America. And she could go ahead and lead the way, open the door to MLM acceptance, right? You too can get into direct sales without feeling like an absolute cultish freak. And go ahead and recruit all your friends. And you know what the best part is? We don't have like weird kind of like toys and shit like that. Or excuse me. We don't have like, you know, these strange products like cleaning shit and all that. Fuck no. We've got sex toys. So you know what? You two can have a fantastic orgasm instead of some Kool-Aid. All right, kids. I think I've had enough right now because, boy, LP's been ranting for a while now. And we're already like way behind. So what we're going to do is take a break here. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host. Cultural attaché to the ring to the stars. Ringmaster of the shit show. Probably way out of practice, too. But we'll get it. You're listening to Joculation. Wow, those breaks come really quick, and they just, like, end really quick. You know what I'm saying there? I was just like, hey, so I'm going to go ahead and step out there, and I'll be right back. Next thing you know, I'm looking over.
What the fuck?
Dude, hey, I got to get back on the air real quick. Hey, kids, great to meet you. Great to have you here. It's Friday night. I'm LP Faust. Your host, cultural attaché, all that sort of shit. We've got the Circle of Intimacy. It's a pretty intimate show this evening. You know what I'm saying
one
there, kids?
Us, okay. That's one of us. Google gobble, yeah. One of us. We accept that one of us. Google gobble, one of us. We accept that one of us.
So I'm surprised because usually what happens is when I take a two-week layoff like I just did, all of a sudden, like, nobody's here. But important things were happening, right? Important things were happening. The kind of things that were happening were like LP actually went around the sun one more time. And, you know, I had a birthday a week ago exactly. So it was important that I wasn't here because not only was it my birthday, it was Black Friday. And I'll explain why. So Thanksgiving, one of my friends over here says, you know something, you know, don't judge or anything. But me and like a bunch of the guys, the fellas, we get up, at, you know, like every Black Friday. And we decide, thank you there, thank you, Jason. And is that we get up every Friday here, Friday, Black Friday, and we go over and we get this very special beer. It's a bourbon barrel-aged beer called Bourbon County. And you can only get it, like, on Black Friday. And it sells out virtually immediately. I'm like, are you fucking serious? He's like, yeah, why don't you come join us? I'm like, well, let's go into what join us means, right? Exactly what time in the morning do I have to be over at this place? Well, normally we'd have to get up pretty early in the morning, but this time I think we're going to be good if we get there at 6:30 in the morning. And I'm like,
I mean, what the fuck?
Day after Thanksgiving? The day after Thanksgiving? And my birthday? You want me to get up at 6:30 in the morning? This beer better be fucking good. That's all I've got to say. So I'm standing out there, number 7 in the line. Mind you, it's like a crisp Colorado morning, so we're there in our parkas. We're making sure that we've got our testicles and its woolies and all that stuff to make sure that shrinkage isn't an issue while you're standing out there, you know, or that you got to run and pee because it's so cold outside kind of thing. And we're kind of talking and shooting the shit and all that stuff. And, you know, there's only 7 of us there. I'm like, guys, I think that maybe we took this a little too far, right? Maybe the beer is good, but we didn't have to be there this early. And, hey, LP, were you correct on that one, huh? Just,
No.
Swear to God. I'm there at 6:30. I'm number 7 in line. The next thing I know, the fucking line goes down the plaza, around the corner. And I'm like, what the fuck kind of beer is this? You want to talk about cultish following? I need to learn about this shit for my own podcast. Although, I shouldn't be saying that because I got people listening in Iran, Pakistan, Zimbabwe, and China. And I mean, how many people can sit there and say that there are people in those countries that are risking death to listen to me, right? Hey, what can I say? I'm flattered. Hey, love all you guys. Hope you're still alive. But that being said, we're standing here and I'm like, what the fuck kind of beer is this? So the guy comes out and he's got like these special tickets. And he's like, so we got a couple of like festive seasonal option kind of things, limited edition bullshit. And, here's the catch. We only got 7 of each of them. And I'm just
how dare you?
Dude, you're supposed to load up on this stuff. Let's not talk about supply chain crunches and breakdowns and stuff like that. So I was like, all right, that means I'm going to get one of the chosen one, right? Yeah, I'm going to get a North Korean VPN. Dude, I'll tell you what, Ron, I'm waiting for the day that I get somebody registering from North Korea. If I get that, then I've truly made it. I don't give a shit what the statistics say. But let's get back to the show, right? So it's like, all right, so we got these seven of each of these beers here, so everybody else behind you is completely fucked. But here's the catch. You can only have one of these. I'm like, oh, yeah? So apparently one of them is like a whiskey-aged whiskey, a special whiskey. I think it's Buffalo Trace. It's aged in that one. And then you got the other one that's in the Elijah Craig that's been aged in two bourbon casks. And I'm like, bro, that's barley wine. I'll take one of those. So apparently, you know, I got one of the super exclusive ones that who in the hell wants to drink champagne on New Year's when you can have some of this shit? So I know you're probably asking, hey, let me ask you a question, sir. Was the beer any good? Here's the greatest part. Before I let you know, I'm sitting there talking to the guys and they're like, yeah, I'm going to grab some of these and then we're going to go hit the other liquor store over there. I'm like, so you guys are like true degenerates, right? No, man, we're collectors. I'm like, yeah, well, I don't collect beer. I'll tell you what's going to happen to me, right? I'm going to go and I'm going to buy this stuff, and I promise you, by January, it'll be gone. So we go in, we get this stuff. I don't know. I spent like $230 on beer asking myself, dude, what the fuck am I doing here? So I go.
I like money.
Thank God for high rewards. And like right and cashing out right before the fucking market tanks. But that being said, am I insinuating that I sold every last dime? No, just my high base dollars. So go over and I get my beer and I bring this home. And you know what? Much to AMR's credit, she doesn't judge. She just looks at it and she says, you think it's any good? I said, I don't know. You want to try some? Yeah. These things have like 16% alcohol by volume. So we're talking, this is not like a gentle light beer like what you're getting. And it's so bourbony, thick and rich, and it's like motor oil, man. It's the most delicious motor oil I've ever tasted. And so I crack one open, and my eye immediately goes up. And the bottles are bigger than the normal serving. This isn't like 16-ounce bottles. It's like, here's your half liter of beer. And I was like, bro, this is fucking fantastic. So I got to say this much. I went ahead and I had a few. And if you ever get an opportunity and it's not your birthday, hey, take a Black Friday and go on over to your local liquor store. Get some Bourbon County beer because I'll tell you what, that shit is the bomb. It's worth lining up for. Even my testicles that shrunk up into my fucking body for warmth would tell you the same thing. They would say, man, it was really cold, but as long as we went ahead and crawled right up inside of LP's gut, it was nice and warm, and the weight wasn't that bad.
I mean, what the fuck?
But that being said, now that we got the holidays coming, you got to think about gift ideas, right? And next week, LP will go ahead, just like I do every year, give you my greatest, most awesome, fucked up gift idea discoveries that I happen to come across on the internet. Just remember, we had such wonderful things as the testacuzzi to go ahead and effectively, you know, jacuzzi your nutsack. You know, things like that. Fantastic gift ideas each year. And, you know, this year the irony of the whole thing is Joculation falls on both Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve. And we'll just take a poll in the audience. Do we want LP doing those two shows or do we want Ron doing those shows? Because, like, Ron does the New Year's Eve show every year, to the best of my knowledge. But this year would wind up being the pig and LP. I like Ron. Yes. Yes, LP, you better go ahead and do that, you fucker. You're taking so much time off lately. Yeah, I know. Because I'm an old man. What can I say? But think about it, right? We're getting ready for the holidays. There's going to be a lot of inconveniences and a lot of weird travel and shit like that. And I can remember when I was younger one time, I was going to have to fly from New York all the way to Miami to go catch up with family for the Christmas break. And I was pricing tickets thinking to myself, you know something? If I just go ahead and take a connecting flight through Philadelphia, I could save $50 per ticket. And right there, I should have told myself, you know,
how about new?
Don't be a cheap bastard. You're risking everything. But the other part of me that was the cheap bastard said, bro, $50, we could put that into, like, gifts, booze, or something else that's more important. So I broke down and said, okay, fuck it. I'll go ahead and I'll just save the $50. Let's go ahead and change in Atlanta. What could possibly happen on the 23rd of December over in freaking New York on my way to Miami? So I, like, you know, hop the plane. It's already running late. It lands over in Philadelphia Airport, and we got, like, I don't know, 15 minutes to get to our gate, which is like on the other side of the terminal through two security checkpoints and all that shit. And I'm like, you motherfuckers. Then they said, don't worry. We got a bus that we're going to just load you all on. Your luggage is going to follow you, and you're going to go ahead and just get to the gate on time. That way we can get you there really quick. And of course, everything's going to work out exactly like it's planned, like it's advertised, right?
No.
Yeah, fuck you, LP. So what winds up happening is I get on this bus and we go over there, and it's like, hey, there's our plane. And as we're running up to the plane, they shut the fucking door in our face. And they're just like, I'm sorry, man. Flight's already closed. I'm like, what'd you fuckers do? Did you sell our tickets? And they're like, no, we didn't sell your tickets. You just arrived late. I have 5 minutes. But the plane has to go ahead and just, you know, board, and we got to get them the fuck out of here on time. So what you'll have to do is you're going to have to go to the standby line. I'm like, all right, maybe this isn't so bad, right? I get over to the standby line, and there's this despondent dude that looks like he hasn't showered in 2 weeks, and he's like in his wife beater shorts and sandals, and his like, he's got sort of a jacket that looks like it was purchased somewhere over in the terminal, and he's just kind of like got this look like all hope is gone. I'm like, dude, what happened to you? He's like, I've been in this airport now for 2 fucking weeks. I'm like, what? He said, yeah, man. All of my luggage went with the rest of my family to Italy. What are you doing here? Well, funny you should ask. A snowstorm, much like what just recently hit, happened to hit, and my flight got delayed. And, of course, being the holiday season, it got delayed, and I got put into standby. And I'm like, you've been in standby for 2 weeks now? He's like, yeah. I said, well, I mean, at least they put you up at a hotel, right? He goes, no, man, because it's fucking an act of God. They're not going to put me up in a hotel. They already told me this whole thing's on my dime.
What the fuck?
I said, so you've been living in the fucking terminal like Tom Hanks did in that movie? He's like, yeah. I'm like, boy, this does not bode well. So LP was sitting there getting bounced from flight to flight, couldn't get on one. The last ticket out of town was to Orlando, which is about, let's conservatively say, 3 hours north of my destination. And they're like, this is the last flight, and I got 3 seats. And we had managed to pick a friend up along the way that we didn't even know, which that was a whole weird thing that turned out really cool. So we get the last 3 tickets, and we decide to celebrate over at the bar. So I go over to the bar, and I sit down with AMR and with our new friend. AMR's talking to our new friend. I'm just kind of like, cool, I got my tickets. I can relax. I don't have to worry. Next thing I know, this dude decides to start talking to me over at the bar. You know, when you're sitting at the bar, guy, and somebody's like not paying attention to you, get a fucking clue and don't talk to them. But no, he felt compelled to try and bring up the conversation, keep the conversation going as much as I tried to kill it. And so he decided to reach for the stars and really try to capture my attention by letting me know his old stories about how selling marijuana back in the 80s isn't exactly like it was today. And I was just like, so let me understand something, Smokey. What you're saying to me over here is you're telling me that you sold a couple of ounces. He's like, oh, hell no, man. I used to sell pounds. I was doing like 70K a month. And I'm like, can I get my check, please? I got to go catch a plane. So if you stop and think about it, not to mention the creepy Santa, like the dude who was dressed in a Santa outfit, wandering through the fucking terminal, trying to get kids to sit on his lap and tell them their Christmas secrets and all that sort of shit. It was a fucked up place. On the whole, stay the fuck out of the Philadelphia airport. At least that's the PSA coming from LP. But if you stop and think about it, right, every fantastic holiday story always, always has a wonderful backstory to it. Something great, an experience that you get to share with the kids, things you get to talk about. You can sit there and say, hey, that was the first place that I went ahead and had bacon-wrapped hot dogs. And that truth was, in fact, the case. Hey, there was a guy that was trying to help me learn how to go ahead and succeed in the drug trade. That was the case. But you know what I never had? I never had the story to share about a woman who chose to breastfeed her cat on the airplane on the way over to Miami.
What the fuck?
You know what I'm saying? That kind of story that shares the holiday warmth and cheer of the season. That one I don't have, and apparently a bunch of shocked passengers on the plane reportedly watched in horror as a woman started to breastfeed her cat on the flight. So it was like Delta Air Flight DL-1360 to Atlanta. Hey, Gray, it's coming your direction. The crew was suggesting that the woman refused to stop what she was doing. The aircraft communications addressing and reporting system message read, REQ red coat meet AC PAX passenger in seat 13A. She's breastfeeding a cat and will not put the cat back in its carrier when in flight. Flight attendant requested. So, apparently, what winds up happening is American Airlines now has been forced to tighten their regulations regarding animals on board after an 84% spike in incidents involving emotional support animals. Now, in this particular case, the small, like, cat is not considered a comfort animal. In fact, they had to be very stringent about animals because that was the out she was trying to use. Because what would you, who in the hell would ever imagine that people would sit there and bring comfort turkeys, comfort gliding possums known as sugar gliders, comfort snakes, comfort spiders, and more? Because they're deciding to use the term emotionally supportive in the most broad manner possible. And you know something, I'll tell you. After you go on a flight like that, or maybe you experienced something that I did, you always look forward to coming home. Maybe mom's going to treat you to something special. Maybe make you feel special, you know. Maybe she goes ahead and cooks you the latest and greatest things of your childhood youth that you loved and enjoyed. Or maybe if you're flying to Pennsylvania, like I was talking about in Philadelphia, maybe your mom goes ahead and gives you mushrooms and marijuana just to bond with you for the holidays. Things like that, right? So apparently, especially during the holiday season. So Brandy Betts, 42, of Middletown, Pennsylvania, was reported to cops in June about the drug use with her 14-year-old, according to an affidavit. And the mom reportedly gave her daughter shrooms and marijuana between January and February of the year. Because why? Because she wanted to have a bonding experience together. It was a mother and daughter bonding experience. I bet it was. So, of course, these dudes charged with felony child endangerment and misdemeanor corruption of minors. And, I mean, hey, you know, those can create for rough holiday experiences. So maybe what you want to do is just grab some friends. Maybe what you want to do is just, you know, have some great times. Maybe you want to go out to the concert or something like that. Maybe what you're thinking about doing is you're thinking about trying to go ahead and check out the latest Brass Against so that you too can go ahead and jump on stage and get urinated in the face by like the lead singer of Brass when she feels like she needs to go ahead and, you know, relieve herself in the middle of a performance. So Brass Against, which is a band known for performing brass versions of rock songs, issued an apology after its lead singer peed on a fan's face at a festival in Daytona Beach last week. So, we had a great time last night at Welcome to Rockville. Sophia got carried away, was the tweet. That's not something the rest of us expected, and it's not something you'll see again at one of our shows. Thanks for bringing it last night, Daytona. So during the performance, she grabbed a bottle of water and noted that the show would be closed out with her relieving herself on someone in the audience once she drank it all. Can my man with the can on his head get ready? Because we're going to bring him on stage and I'm going to piss in this motherfucker's mouth, she said. And, and I was just like, you know, where's New Hacker Girl when you need her? She would really dig this kind of a story. She'd be into this sort of stuff. So a few minutes later, the man indeed climbed onto the stage with an apparently empty can attached to his forehead. He laid down flat on his back on stage, prompting Eurista to straddle his head, slide her pants down, and pee into the can, or at least aim for it. And when she finished, the man scooped up some of the liquid on stage into his hands and threw it all over the audience. After getting her pants pulled back up, she walked over to him, telling him to get off the stage and calling for security to help her out. Security, get him the fuck out of here, she said. Get the fuck out of here. You done. So there you go, kids. That is holiday fucking awesomeness. And, of course, what you got to do is you got to stop and think about spending some time with that special person in your life. You know what I'm talking about? That very special person. And maybe what you want to do is you want to go ahead and make sure that, you know, you want to get close, but you maybe don't want to take it too far. Maybe what you want to do is engage in a little bit of Mormon soaking. And if you're not familiar with what Mormon soaking is, you can go ahead and check out the link I dropped over in here. So the term soaking, as it's coined, is described to use the act of someone inserting their penis into a vagina and then just letting it sit there and soak without thrusting. And I'm just kind of asking myself, dude. And apparently, this is what they go ahead and do at BYU to get around the rules of no sex before marriage, even though there's penetration going on. And I'm thinking a rebranding needs to go ahead and happen here, right? Instead of soaking, maybe they should just call it like marinating. It's something along those lines.
Ah!
But there was this whole thing I stumbled across on YouTube with these two Mormons that were sitting here discussing. Yeah, I want to soak it all in. Talking about this very thing like a bunch of juveniles and couldn't actually like really talk about it. And of course, the subject came up. Aren't they like worried about getting pregnant and all that stuff? Well, no worries, man. We talked about the testacuzzi earlier. You know what you could do? You could just use the testicle bath birth control device that this wonderful inventor over in Germany won the Dyson Prize for. And effectively, what you do is the same thing as the testacuzzi. Instead of keeping your ball sack warm, what you do is you just like lay your guys inside of there. You go ahead and turn the microwave radiation up to like high, and you nuke it until the little ding comes on there. And then next thing you know, hey, no more little fishes to get anybody pregnant because you've effectively cooked your balls. So no worries. No kids that you've got to go ahead and worry about. So you can get that thing sorted. And then, of course, the bigger issue that you've got to worry about is when you're having a long-distance relationship like that, you never know if somebody's going to go ahead and actually, like, I don't know, be faithful. And, of course, in this day and age, you've got a lot of STIs that you've got to worry about, but nothing is nearly as bad as the new flesh-eating STI that's causing beefy red sores to become more common. And is this prevalent in America now? And you've got to ask yourself very important questions as far as what kind of protection we've got to worry about. So apparently according to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the STI Donovanovis, I think is what it's called, is most common in parts of India, Papua New Guinea, and Central Australia in the Caribbean. But now the UK suggests that Donovanosis has been steadily growing in cases since 2016. And while it's not nearly as bad as everything else, you too can get beefy red sores all over your genitalia if you're here in the U.S. because there's a new outbreak of this happening over here, coincidentally along with, you know, the Omicron version of the COVID virus. So, kids, while you're getting your booster shots, be sure not to go ahead and stick your noodle inside of somebody else's place to get boosted, because you never know. You might get some beefy red sores all over there just in time for the holidays. And if you go ahead and get, like, a little bit of gangrene, you can just have the beautiful, like, red and green of Christmas all over your balls and your vagina just in time for the holidays. Santa would be so happy, he'll probably put you on the naughty list. You know what I'm saying?
Ah!
All right, kids, I'm going to take a break here. Wow, this is a fast show for me, at least. Look at that. I only got 45 minutes left, which means we're going to have to hustle, hustle, hustle. Hey, kids, it's Friday night. I'm L.B. Faust, your host, cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of the shit show this evening. You're listening to Joculation. So, Nine, you were asking earlier about what it's like as far as the whole flash mobs that are sitting here going ahead and stealing all the stuff from all the different stores, right? Because when we go ahead and call it a flash mob, it's not organized theft. It sounds like it's like a Bob Fosse type thing, you know, like some sort of musical you pay a ticket to go do and see, and it's like entertaining to watch people, you know, just like steal everything off of the shelves in a coordinated attack on a particular place. Well, what's interesting now is sign of the times, right? Apparently now over here in Colorado, not in my county, thankfully. Now there's reports of like tires being stolen off parked cars over inside of Jefferson County. And hey, Carlos, are we over in Jefferson County?
No.
Thankfully, no. So apparently, you know, the next thing I'm expecting to have happen is people stripping off catalytic converters and stuff from the cars. So back over in the day, you know, back when the last great big crisis happened of stagflation, all that, if I remember correctly, if my history's right, people's car mufflers were getting stolen. And the reason why is because inside the catalytic converter, you had platinum. Platinum is a very valuable metal. And it was even back then. It's more rare than gold is in the earth. And as a result, it usually commands a higher price. Well, of course, platinum shot through the fucking roof in cost. So what they did was, true to form, went and got a cheaper metal, which was palladium. And palladium became the thing that they would go ahead and stick inside of all the catalytic converters. So now, with palladium skyrocketing higher than platinum in some cases, I'm just expecting that tires are where it starts. Next thing you know, you're going to come out and happen to catch and see that there's no catalytic converter or muffler that's sitting on your car because people are stealing them. In fact, years back when I was working over in Hialeah, over in Miami, I was working over at this aircraft seat manufacturing facility that was there. And the guys that were over in the crew rest department that would build the underbelly crew rest cabins where all of these all the staff would go ahead and go into, the flight attendants, to go catch a sleep in the overseas flights or long hauls, they go out to lunch one day. As they're coming back, they see these two homeless people sitting there with this massive air conditioner unit put on top of a shopping cart going down the street to the scrap metal yard. And they're laughing, going, ha, 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 look at how ridiculous this shit is. I wonder where they stole that from. Well, while they were out at lunch, these guys went ahead and stole the air conditioner unit from the cabin shop and for the copper that was inside of it so that they could go ahead and effectively get their drug fix. So guess what, kids? I was impressed because you're talking about cutting high voltage lines. You're talking about getting a fucking massive air conditioner onto a shopping cart. I was totally impressed. Well, that's about where we're going to be going pretty soon here at the rate things are going between the supply crunch and stagflation. Hey there, kids. It's LP Faust. It's Joculation. It's Friday night. We're just about done, and the circle of intimacy is still going sort of strong.
Okay. That's one of us. Google gobble, one of us. We accept that one of us. Google gobble, one of us. We accept that one of us.
I was like, wow, man, I had like a whole one-hour monologue there practically, and I mean, how often do we do that? I mean, do we actually do it that often? I'm just kind of wondering over there.
No.
So, you know, occasionally when you actually get it going, you got to go ahead and ask yourself.
Who the fuck thinks this is popcorn time?
You know, just to pep yourself up before you're going to go ahead and start doing all of that sort of stuff, you got to ask yourself that question. And, I mean, how often does it happen? It doesn't happen very often because, you know, I'm definitely not. Whenever I do this stuff, it's like I got to play the nearly dead Ric Flair.
Whoa!
Because that was kind of interesting. But that being said, we just need more music, right? Oh, my God. So, of course, we're going to do some crypto talk here. Of course, we're not. What I find to be funny is, you know, Nine and I got into this discussion sort of as the music was playing on about this dude that was, I took the family out for some sushi last night, and the guy that was serving us comes over to the table, and as he's starting to go ahead and put something down, I think I'm like the only one paying attention. The sleeve goes up and he's got like all of this, these tattoos with satanic church symbology all over them. And I just kind of give him the knowing glance and he sort of looks at me right back with that, please don't rat me out look. And I'm like, yeah, it's okay, man. To each their own and all that stuff. I guess from my standpoint, the way I am, you know, I don't publicly admit it very often, but hey, listen, man, I'm an agnostic atheist. What can I say? I don't know the answers to life. I don't know whether or not there is a life after this one. So on and so forth. But there are a few rules that I do have. One of them that I do have is I find religious organizations something that I despise, one. And two, I find people that are actually very deeply spiritual, and there's a distinct difference between the two. Deeply spiritual people fascinate me. So between the two, there's sort of like this, or I should say, I guess that's the distinction that I go ahead and put out there. And part of the reason why I've sort of come to this situation where I'm sort of talking about this is during the break. Yeah, I has a spiritual LP Faust. I bet you do, Clay. I bet you've already found your spirit animal and all that stuff after you've blazed up a whole bunch of drugs, haven't you, my friend? That's okay. We don't judge. You missed the conversation early on. Uh-oh. Somebody's trying to DM me right now. And guess what? They really care about global issues, and they want to know if I'd like to go ahead and help. and if they want to participate in like dumping all my cryptos and NFTs to them, I bet you these are the assholes that are responsible for the market meltdown today. I mean, I think I need to report them. And, you know, funny in that whole thing, talking about, you know, money and all that stuff, I guess what they need to do is they should just basically go on over to Joel Osteen's church and just look behind the toilets, because you never know when you're going to find, like, I don't know, $600,000 of, like, checks behind the fucking toilet wall over there. And you, too, could go ahead and fund your own, like, great adventures and all that sort of stuff. So apparently a plumber finds, like, I don't know, what is this now? 500 envelopes out. So there was a loose toilet in the wall, and we removed the tile, the caller said. We go to remove the toilet, and as I move some insulation away, about 500 envelopes fell out of the wall. And I was like, oh, wow. So, of course, he contacts the maintenance supervisor, contacts the FBI, and blah, blah, blah. And the reason why this is such a great mystery is because $600,000 in checks and cash disappeared from the church's safe in 2014. And, you know, it was never reported. So no arrests were made, no nothing. And like a miracle from God, it suddenly gets shit out of the toilet after it's been backed up and just explodes all over the floor. Look at all those fantastic checks. So, look, man, what can I say? I'm thinking we need a Christmas miracle, and we should go over and do some plumbing over at the Olsteen's Church if you're a little short on Christmas money this holiday season. All right, kids, listen, we got like 20 minutes left. We got to get some more music out of the way because we got a Richard Cheese Hour that we got to do. And I got to report this asshole who's trying to get me to dump all of my crypto in an already abused and battered market. I swear, man, this market's going to have battered wives syndrome for a little while. I'm LP Faust. Joculation. So, Ron, I dropped a link in there earlier in between all of the, you know, conversation about the end of eternity and all that sort of stuff. Which, you know, whatever. I mean, I'm just in it for the lols, according to Normock. So, you know how it is, man. Lols. But Wrinkles the Clown, effectively what he was he's this old guy who's hired to dress up like the craziest clown you could possibly imagine and scare the shit out of misbehaving kids. So in that particular scene that you see there, what he's actually been done is, or what's been done is his family or the parents went ahead and paid him to get put into the drawer beneath their misbehaving son's bed. So then that way what happened is when their kid goes to sleep at night, Wrinkles comes out from the drawer and goes ahead and, you know, greets him to let him know he's been misbehaving a little bit too much. So there's an entire documentary from Wrinkles the Clown, and this is a real guy, actually, that came up with this whole concept. And I'm like, dude, this has got to be the best shtick. I mean, who the fuck cares about, like, Homie the Clown from the Days of In Living Color and all that stuff? Oh, yeah, I bet you want me to jump around and do balloon animals and shit, right? Yeah, homie. No, I don't think so. Homie, don't play that. That was funny. But I'll tell you what, Wrinkles the Clown is probably 100 times more funny, and it's fucking great. So, kids, another documentary that you can watch. You know what? We got to probably start to wrap this up here, so let's go ahead and do a little bit of a recap until we run out of time. And we can go from there. So, kids, we opened up the show, started talking to you about Water Fairy Dance, about us throwing up the devil's horns and going ahead and headbanging me and my son, to my daughter going ahead and playing her very first round of drums for, you know, Imagine Dragons Believer. And, you know, we went ahead and threw up the devil horns and we're headbanging to You Got a Friend in Me also. It was a little weird, but whatever, man. I don't care about that. Wanted to go ahead again, give a shout-out to my fantastically brave fans that are over in Iran, Pakistan, Zimbabwe, and China. I love you all. You know, when you show up on my analytics and you risk your life and, you know, political imprisonment and all that sort of shit, I'll tell you what, I love you even more. So I'll have to go ahead and get another podcast up there very soon. I got like three or four of them that I've got to go ahead and edit down. So from there, we talked about this terrible, terrible, wonderful, you know, holiday fucking reality TV competition shit. And we talk about the dysfunctional insanity of gravy cocktails now. Remember, we talked about the Gravy Mary. We talked about the finger licking sour, the gravy teeny, the southern twist, and the very disgusting brown stuff. And in case you missed the link earlier, how did we find out about gravy cocktails? Well, because, you know, the Tri-Channel decided to have a bunch of Irish people have some KFC and gravy-inspired cocktails which you two can go ahead and gag in disgust over. So we went ahead and decided to have a conversation about what to do with leftover gravy. Then we talked about the dysfunctionally fucked up weird documentary film on tablescaping called Set with an exclamation point, which you can go and watch. Is you get to see this dude have his life just sucked out of his body and soul as his wife takes over the house with all of her competition tables, eventually shoving one in their bedroom so that they can wake up to a beautiful tablescape every morning. Awesome dysfunction. Of course, Martha Stewart made it out of like her, out of her exile after going ahead and being convicted of insider trading. And now she's got a brand new HGTV show called about an extreme table setting called Table Wars. So you two could go ahead and watch that. And hopefully she'll drop a couple of really awesome insider trading tips that you two can go ahead and use for fun and profit. Now, we talked about the fantastic television program courtesy of The Great Resignation. We discussed whether or not people, when beginning a new phase of their life, should take the Tiffany Haddish approach and just wax all the pubes off of their, off of their nether regions right before going ahead and either getting with another dude or potentially going ahead and starting a new career in life. We talked about Chrissy Teigen and her tone-deaf Squid Party game. It's a shame that she actually managed to live it. And then we talked about her fantastic eyebrow transplant surgery so she can go ahead and bring back the unibrow in all of its splendor and glory. And we wondered whether or not she should have gone ahead and become a beauty hacker over on, TikTok, gone ahead and showed us some fantastic new unibrow transplant stuff that you can do in the privacy of your own home with some Gorilla Glue and maybe a couple of the pubes that Steve-O was collecting from everybody to create his Sasquatch suit, some extra ones. Then we talked about the disingenuous, reality TV show Kendra Sells Hollywood and how really what she should have done is instead of going out and selling real estate to try and get in touch with the every person, she should have just gone ahead and done what every person would do, which is, join an MLM cult and do some direct sales and just piss her friends off. Then we went into the wonders and joys of the Goop Party and that she would go ahead and throw where she could just carelessly sit around the pool drinking some ayahuasca and peyote infused mocktails while getting some murder hornet facials. I mean, that would be fantastic. And guess what, kids? Just like that, we run out of time. Can you believe that? Boy, that was a fast show. Well, I'll tell you what, kids. To everyone that came out tonight and listened and hung out, appreciate you stopping by. To the people that stopped by and left, hey, it was great to have you. Glad that you could go ahead and join us for a little while, for a little bit of the lulls. To those of you that are out there in podcast land, listen, I love you. Thanks, everybody that's been going ahead and hitting all the podcasts. I appreciate it. The back catalog is absolutely getting just played to death over and over. And you know what? Brings a smile to my face. And to those of you in all of those fantastic third world countries, that's probably a terrible term to use. To those of you that are risking political imprisonment, to those of you that could have their social credit scores destroyed because you're listening to this show, and to those of you out there that face beheading, listen, I love each and every one of you. To those of you that are out there also in every other country and just listening to Get the Lulls, love you too. Without you, wouldn't be a show. All right, kids, I got to check out. I'm LP Faust, your host. Going to check out next time. Catch you next week. Take care. Good night.
Thanks for checking out this episode of Joculation. We encourage you to join us for the live interactive social broadcast every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. Again, that's 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Joculation in its entirety, listen live on msbwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. We'll see you next time.